the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey this week. Talking publicly about menstruation has been taboo for a very long time. And it's a bit puzzling when you think about it, because every day millions of people are on their period. I had mine last week. I'll have it again next month. And yet the stigma surrounding menstruation is persistent. And it seems to be a fairly universal issue cutting across cultures and borders. We're diving deep into this issue today on the 21st Show. We'd love to hear your perspective if you have a story or an experience to share about shame around your period or any thoughts on this issue. We'd love to hear from you. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by researchers who study menstrual taboo and global health and consider how these issues play out here in the U.S. as well. But we'll start by taking a trip across the Atlantic, 5,000 miles to Freetown, Sierra Leone in West Africa. That's where a group of journalists from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign traveled earlier this year to report on the issue of period poverty and efforts to address it there. Noor Longhi and Faith Lee are recent graduates from the U of I and part of the team known as the Illinois Partnership for African Women's Health. Noor, Faith, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Noor, let's start with you. Tell us more about this project and what your goals were in going to Sierra Leone to report on this issue.
Yeah, of course. So this project was a collaboration between students at the University of Illinois and journalism students in Freetown, Sierra Leone, to cover and report on period poverty and how it's impacting girls there. We specifically focused on one NGO and their efforts to address this problem. It's called Women Talk. And what makes Sierra Leone different than other countries when addressing this topic is their very unique history. They recently had a civil war, then they went through the Ebola epidemic, and then COVID-19. So you have this kind of wave of, you know, building up different efforts to kind of address this problem, and then all those efforts being set back by these different events that are happening. My personal goals while filming this project was, I'm very passionate about period poverty. I think it's a huge problem and it needs to be solved. So just spreading awareness and having people talk more openly about periods. A lot of people may not even realize how not having access to period products may impact a girl's life. So just kind of spreading that awareness was one of the goals. Also, one very unique thing about this project is that cross-cultural collaboration. You know, there is that trope of American journalists going abroad to developing countries and making documentaries about people in need and stuff like that. But I think what makes this project so special is that it's a true collaboration between us and journalists in Sierra Leone, so that we're not imposing any type of bias on these people.
Faith, can you paint a picture for us of life in Sierra Leone, what you learned while you were there? What is it like particularly for young girls there and for young girls, especially that are approaching the age where they might get their first period?
So from our visit, I think we learned that life in Sierra Leone can be very difficult. As Noor said, they've gone through their trials and tribulations over the past couple decades with their civil war, as well as the Ebola outbreak and COVID-19. So all of those things coupled together makes life very hard, specifically for women in the country. There's a large struggle with poverty in the country for just everyone. So things like finding work and things of that nature can be difficult for women and girls. So their education is very important so that they can make money for themselves and assimilate or matriculate to making money and things of that nature. So it can be very difficult when they are experiencing their menstrual cycle and having to take time off of work and school. It can sometimes keep them in a cycle of poverty just because they're missing work and school for a week at a time, and they can fall behind and it causes them not to make money. So life can be very hard for mm-hmm. them there. So yeah, that's what we learned while studying and filming and talking to women in the country.
And Noor, one of the schools or the school that you visited and kind of focused on for this project is called Education for All in Sierra Leone. And you met a young girl named Khadija, who's now 13. Can you tell me a little bit about her? What's her story?
Yeah, so we met Khadija last year when we were at Education for All. She's in her final year there right now. And so she got her period when she was 9 years old. And she was on her way back home from school, and she had bled through her uniform. And she noticed this, and she experienced a lot of shame, which is an aspect of period poverty that not a lot of people think about. It's not just lack of access to basic products. It's also that shame and stigma surrounding periods. Here's what she had to say about the experience.
The neighbors that were outside, everybody was shouting that I've stained my uniform. And there was a woman that said, "You are no more a child, you are an adult." When I want to wear my uniform, the same woman that said that I'm no longer a baby, that I'm a adult, they mocked me, and I went inside and took off my uniform.
And yeah, so Khadija stopped going to school for a period of time because of the shame that she was experiencing. There were also a lot of other factors that contributed to her taking a hiatus from school. So it was financial. School fees are really hard to pay. And when you hit that age of puberty, there are a lot of different factors that could keep girls out of school during that time. Transportation was also a really big thing. It was really hard for her to go to her school every day because it was really far. And then also, like you heard, that stigma and shame in general surrounding puberty and getting her period, access to period products when you're on school grounds, how are you going to manage your period? So all these factors contributed to her stop going to school. And she eventually was able to return to school because a lot of these problems were addressed. But for many girls in Sierra Leone, the story ends differently. They're not able to get access to financial assistance, period products, et cetera.
And Noor, I want to get into some of the grassroots efforts to address this issue. But before we do that, can you tell me, you also spoke with the director of Sierra Leone's Ministry of Health. And what did she tell you about the impact of menstrual shaming, period poverty on girls across the country there?
Yeah, so in Sierra Leone and low and middle income countries in general, lack of access to period products and that social stigma and all the other facets of period poverty can cause girls to miss out on large chunks of the school year. She says that 1 in 10 girls will miss out on school there because of their periods. And so this is a lot of time spent away from the classroom because they need to manage their periods. And in some cases, some girls even drop out when they hit the age of puberty. And period products are also extremely expensive. So the average household in Sierra Leone earns less than $50 a month. And Fasaluku says period products can cost $4 to $5 American dollars a month. And so this is way more than most families in Sierra Leone can afford, especially when you consider that there are households with multiple women. So when you have all of these, you have to feed your family, you have to keep everyone healthy, period products may not be the biggest priority. So this is what Dr. Fasaluku has to say about that.
Menstrual products is not going to be a priority because you want to eat, you want to make sure that you're healthy.
And this is not just an issue in Sierra Leone. This impacts women across the globe. So an estimated 500 million women and girls globally lack access to period products. And in low and middle income countries, that means that a lot of girls miss out on huge chunks of the school year.
Let me take a moment to remind our listeners, this is the 21st show, and we're speaking with Noor Longhi and Faith Lee. They're journalists and recent graduates from the University of Illinois who visited Sierra Leone earlier this year as part of a reporting project with the Illinois Partnership for African Women's Health. Faith, much of your team's reporting focuses on the efforts of a grassroots organization that's working to address period poverty in Sierra Leone. It's known as Umentalk. What can you tell us about this group?
Yeah, so Umentalk is a local NGO based in Freetown, Sierra Leone, and they employ women tailors to help make reusable menstrual pads for women and girls in the country. So they have a team of about 15 seamstresses. that work every day, as long as there are orders for Umentak to make the reusable pads for women and girls in the country. And they also go out to distribute the reusable menstrual pads in the community at different schools in the surrounding Freetown area. And along with that distribution of the reusable menstrual pads, they also provide sexual health education for both boys and girls in the schools. And the education there starts early. They want to give everyone the opportunity to learn about their sexual health and be knowledgeable on how to take care of themselves, especially with the young women in the schools, how to care for themselves on their periods, learning about all of the different phases of the menstrual cycle in order to help them stay in school for longer period during their periods every month.
And is this group supported financially? Is it through donations? Is it like the schools are paying for the products to help them, their students get access? How does that work?
Umentak is connected to Schools First Alone, and they receive some funding from them, which that is an organization based here in the United States. And they also accept donations from people across the globe who are willing to support their efforts.
So, Noor, you introduced us to Khadija. What can you tell us about how she's doing lately and what's next for her?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most impactful things that I saw while I was in Sierra Leone, we went two times to film. And the first time when we first had gotten Khadija's story, she was a lot more reserved. She was quiet. And then the second time when we went in March, she was a brand new person. She was super confident. She really grown into herself. She's excelling in school. She scored really high on the secondary exam that she took there. And she dreams of becoming a nurse one day. But, you know, those same issues that held her back the first time that we were hearing about financial stress, you know, the stress of managing her period, all that still is impacting her today. She's not sure if she can afford to pay for the next steps of her education and actually become a nurse. So that's a huge stressor on her. So she has a bright future ahead, but there definitely is still uncertainty.
We just have a couple minutes before we're going to let you go and take a short break here. But Ken, I'd love to hear from each of you. What are you hoping that people take away from engaging with the reporting that you all will be putting out into the world? It's going to include a documentary film. You've got a website. There's also this graphic novel printed out. Faith, you go first. What are you hoping people will take away from this work?
Oh, I'm hoping that people will understand that period poverty is not just an issue that affects lower income countries or developing countries, that it affects women and girls and those who menstruate all over the globe. And that really there should be no taboos or any stigma surrounding talking about menstruation, because it is a natural bodily function that shows that you are a healthy woman. And I just hope that from our documentary, people will be willing to give and be more open to talking about menstruation from our project.
And Noor, anything you'd add to that in just about a minute we have left here?
Yeah, and just to echo Faith, I think one of the most beautiful things about this reporting process was seeing all of the similarities between my own experience and, you know, managing my own period and these girls and like what they were saying. Obviously, we live like 5,000 miles apart and an ocean away, but these same problems and the same like experience of coming of age and, you know, puberty still rings true. And I think that's something that's really impactful when you're kind of watching this from a totally different perspective.
Noor Longhi and Faith Lee are journalists and recent graduates from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Both of them visited Sierra Leone as part of a reporting project with the Illinois Partnership for African Women's Health. Noor and Faith, thanks so much for joining us on the 21st.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll take a step back and consider the broader context of the issues of period poverty and menstrual equity. We'd love to hear your experience. If you have thoughts on this issue, if you have a story to share about experiencing shame around your period, we'd love for you to call in. Join the conversation. You can give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We'll talk with researchers coming up after this break who study menstrual taboo in other parts of the world and here in the U.S. We'll consider how the issue plays out across the globe and closer to home. I'm Christine Herman. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Arts Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.